Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This is another Ask Us Anything mini-sode where we answer questions about toddler bedtimes, work-life balance, and more. Let's get started. Hi, Shauna.
Hi.
It's another mini-sode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where we answer questions in a quick format.
Oh, yeah.
This is like Girls 5 Eva, and you're what's-her-name who, like, steals the show every time. And I'm totally the dentist lady.
Oh, man. You know, I watched one episode of that show, so what? I wish I could riff on this reference. Yeah.
It's so good.
didn't stick with us. It is what it is, yeah.
Oh, man. I feel like you got to give it a try. Give, like, a second episode a try. I loved it.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. I will try it again.
Anywho, this is not a Girls 5 Eva podcast, fan podcast. This is a Ask Us Anything mini-sode where we answer just a few questions we've gotten from listeners trying to address your pressing questions in real time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should just get started. What do you say, Shauna?
Let's dive right in.
Okay, so this first question is actually for you. It's from Brianna. She asks, would Shauna recommend LASIK before or after getting pregnant with a second kiddo?
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Now, Shauna, I don't know if we've ever talked about your eyes on this podcast.
We have talked about it in the context of a throwback story in which, like, my glasses and contacts as a youngster, like, came into play.
That's right.
Right?
Well, obviously, this listener knows something about it because she's asking mm-hmm. about your LASIK surgery.
Yes.
So tell us more about when you got LASIK.
Okay. First of all, I have had horrible eyesight since I was young. I started wearing glasses at age 8 because of an off-the-charts astigmatism in which eye doctors would always be gobsmacked and be like, for real? Like, double-checking the numbers and like, huh? And glasses and contacts were always just a big headache for me. And I wanted LASIK, like eye surgery, to correct my vision forever. And the doctors were always like, you're going to have to wait for the technology to improve before you can get this surgery.
Just what you want to hear.
Just what I want to hear. So it did finally improve. And when Elle was 6 months old, I'm pretty sure Steve was just like seeing how fed up I was with glasses and contacts and stuff. He's like, why don't you just get LASIK? And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, like, let's just do it. And I'm like, okay. And so I looked into it and got it when Elle was about 6 months old. And it was life-changing. Like, I am not an overdramatic person on very many things. Like, I don't say things are life-changing very often, mm-hmm. but LASIK was life-changing.
Like, the new sweet cannoli dip from Trader Joe's isn't life-changing for you? Because it felt pretty life-changing for me.
I haven't had that one. Oh my gosh.
It's a hidden gem, Shauna.
Sweet cannoli dip?
Mm-hmm. You take like a plain cookie, dip it in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So good. Okay, I digress. Mm-hmm. So maybe you will think that's life-changing, but probably not as much as this LASIK you got.
Yes. So here is my advice on this. Get the LASIK ASAP. Get it as soon as possible for a couple reasons. One, you won't have to fiddle with your glasses and contacts when you go to the hospital to give birth with your second baby. That was one of the best things. Like, I went in for my C-section with Cece, and I didn't have to, like, worry about glasses on my face in the OR and, like, with Elle, I mean, my glasses were like half falling off my face and I can't see shit without them, you know? It was just like such a headache. So yeah, just be done with that. Have your LASIK, have your great perfect vision for your second baby so you can see the baby's face immediately. Like, I don't even think I got a clear vision of Elle when she was born for a while because I couldn't see shit.
When you say her birth was a blur, you just actually meant it literally this whole time.
Yes, literally. I couldn't see shit. So definitely for that reason. The other reason, it's not a problem really to get LASIK when you're breastfeeding. You know, I definitely talked about that with my doctor because I was still breastfeeding Elle when I got my surgery done. But I did have to not nurse her for a while because I needed to take Valium or something for the surgery, you know, to just kind of relax and chill out. So there, it was just an inconvenience, you know, for a little bit to do that. So that's a consideration. If you're breastfeeding while you get your surgery, just make sure to double check with your doctor or lactation consultant about the safety of that. But I love LASIK so much that I think you should do it right away and change your life. And then get some cannoli dip from Trader Joe's.
Yes. And you'll be able to see it on the shelf because you can read it. No, but I have a question about LASIK and your eyes, because I think maybe part of the question is that, like, there's this idea that pregnancy can change your vision, right? Did you have any, like, concerns about that? Like, did anyone ask you, like, are you going to have another kid before you signed up for the LASIK?
I think you're right about that. Like, when you get pregnant, maybe it could change your eyesight a little bit, or, like, after giving birth, you want to wait a little while for your eyes to settle down or something. So double check on those things. My doctor didn't have a problem with me getting it at 6 months postpartum at all. It was not a problem. Didn't seem to be a concern about me getting pregnant. But, you know, then again, I wasn't looking to get pregnant within like the next year or anything after that anyway. I will say that I did have one follow-up surgery on, I think, my left eye. Like, it just wasn't quite perfect. And so a few months later, he went in and like fixed it. But then after my second pregnancy and birth, like, nothing changed with my eyes. Everything has been fine since, and it just hasn't been an issue.
Yeah. And I should say that my prescription has not changed. I have a very, very light contacts prescription, and it hasn't changed with my pregnancies. So that's my contribution to this discussion.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, just as with everything, just double check with your doctor. Find a great LASIK surgeon. If you're in the LA area, reach out to me because I love mine. I recommend him to everybody. Yeah, that's my advice.
Cool.
Okay, Laura, the next question is for you. This is from Rachel.
Alrighty.
She says, when you did check-ins for Augie as a toddler at bedtime, what did you do while checking in?
Oh, okay. So I think Rachel is referring to when we would do our like planned check-ins with Augie, you know, if he was having a hard time. You know, we sleep trained when he was like 6 months. It worked, or maybe even a little earlier, and it worked really well, and he slept great for a long time. And then when he became like, I want to say 2.5, if my memory is serving me, he started having like anxieties about bedtime and didn't want to sleep in the dark and all that stuff. And so we started doing planned check-ins where we'd leave the room, but we'd say we're coming back in like 1 minute, or we're coming back in 5 minutes. So the question is, what did we do when we came back? And, you know, it's really simple. Like, well, first I would like slowly walk in because half the time he'd already be asleep. So I'd be trying really hard to not wake him up. So first you tiptoe in and assess the situation. And usually he'd be really sleepy and he'd just sort of like look up, and he does this thing. He still does it. He goes, Mama. like a little baby. He's like, Mama. Because he's like half asleep and excited to see me. And so I would just go up to him and give him a kiss, and I'd say, yeah, see, I'm back. That's one thing, I guess, I'd always do is I'd say, see, I'm back. I told you I'd come back, and here I am, like, to remind him that I keep my promises and we're close by. At some point, I did add in the mantra, the mommy and daddy are near, Augie is safe, your bed is cozy. So we would do that, but mostly just a quick reassurance and say, I'm back. I'm here to check in and make sure you're safe, and give him a kiss and a hug. And then I'd say, okay, I'm going to check back in. And some days I'd say like, okay, I'll be back in 5 minutes, or I'll be back in 10 minutes. But we've also done the thing where I ask him how long he wants. So I'll be like, okay, I came back. See, mommy always comes back. How long do you want this next check-in to be? And sometimes he would be like, 0 minutes. And so I'd like step out of the door and step right back in and be like, I'm back. And, you know, all of this is just to like show to him that we do come back, right? Like, that's the whole point, right? To like get him into the secure attachment and not feel abandoned. And now he's really into counting on his fingers and stuff. So he'll like hold up a number of fingers and he'd be like, this many. And I'll be like, how many is that? And he like counts his fingers. He's like, 7 minutes. I'll be like, okay. And if it's anything over 2 minutes, 99% of the time he'd be asleep anyway.
Okay.
So, but yeah, just a little check-in. Just the whole point is to reassure him that we really do come back. We're not lying to him, you know, and that he's safe. So whatever it takes to get that feeling across, that's what we would do.
Gotcha.
And we still do that to this day. You know, he's going to be 4.
You do?
Yeah, he's, you know, basically almost 4, and he still needs check-ins. He still wants to know that we're coming back. So last night I knew he was tired, because if you ask how long he wants for the check-in and he says 10 minutes, that's like he knows he's going to be asleep at 10 minutes.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah. So he's like, 10 minutes. I'm like, okay, you are tired, kid.
Oh, that's really cute.
It is cute.
I admire the check-in system you're doing with him, because my system with Cece is just to lay with her until she falls asleep.
Well, we were doing that and it was just unsustainable. We couldn't do it anymore because it would just... And it would, the thing is, it would cause problems in the middle of the night. Like, I don't see any problem with that on principle, but the real problem was that he would then wake up at 2 a.m. and be freaked out that I wasn't there or Corey wasn't there. So that's the real problem. Also, you have like a nice full size bed for her. And we have one piece of the nugget sitting next to his toddler bed. So there's a difference in comfort levels going on.
Yeah, true.
But anyway, thanks for that question, Rachel. So I think we have some more questions, right, Jonna?
We do.
Okay, so let's take a quick break and then we'll come back with them.
All right. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, we are back, and we have a set of questions that are related to answer for this last part of our mini-sode. Michelle wrote in and asked, how do you manage kids, work, a spouse, social life, and a podcast?
I don't know.
My knee-jerk reaction is poorly?
Barely? No, just kidding.
I will say that, like, there's a big overlap of social life and podcast for me.
Because that helps.
I mean, I get to talk to you for like an hour every week. So that really like helps, you know, carve out that social life. Because, you know, we chat off to the side. We do a lot of outtakes where we get a little gossip time in. So that's one way.
Yeah.
Make your podcast your social hour.
That is so true. And also similarly, I've got an overlap with podcast and spouse because mm-hmm. Steve helps with the podcast. He, you know, helps produce it and stuff. So there's a little overlap there. So lots of overlap. that's number one, how things work with that. Second, I think that working from home helps mm-hmm. a ton with this because when I have a little downtime with work, I can jump over and do some stuff for the podcast and, you know, pick up the kids and do all of that stuff. So that is really, really helpful with the work-life balance.
Yeah. I mean, having a flexible schedule is really key. It would be very difficult to get this all done if we both mm-hmm. worked like 9 to 5s in an office.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's what we did like for the first 9 months of the show or something, because I was going into the office mm-hmm. and still doing the podcast. So it was definitely trickier then. I only had one kid. But yeah, it's definitely tricky. And I have to say, I have learned to embrace letting things go. You know, mm-hmm. I've got a lot of aspirations and ambitions for like marketing the podcast and doing lots of, you know, content online for social and doing all of these things. And sometimes it's just kind of like, well, that's not going to happen this week. And yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, because I've been thinking about this in sort of the context of us getting 2 million downloads. And there were all these Spotify Unwrapped things happening last week. Everyone got their Spotify year-end summaries. And I just loved seeing how many listeners posted that we were their like number one podcast they listened to and how many minutes they listened to us. And I had this thought, which was like, wow, imagine if we did marketing.
I know.
Imagine if we actually had time to hire out people to do our social media or something. Like, honestly, when I say this is DIY, like, we are so DIY.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really proud of us for being able to do what we've done and to reach as many people as we have. Because,
yeah.
yeah, it's a lot. I mean, and also for me, like, I don't work a full-time job, as I've talked about a bunch on the show. I'm starting to try to work more, but it's difficult for all the aforementioned things we talked about. I will say another mm-hmm. thing that is really key is, like, kids and social life can all also be like clumped together. Like they shouldn't always be, right? Like obviously you need your own social life outside of your kids. But if you can find parent friends that you're like, mm-hmm. your kids get along with their kids and you get along with them, like that is crucial, I think, to being able to socialize.
Absolutely. Even like Elle's softball team this season, right? It's a social activity for me because I go and I get to chat with all the parents and I love that. Like, I just love any opportunity to hang out with adults and chat and stuff. So yeah, finding the overlap there is really helpful too.
I feel like we get a lot of questions like, how do you make mom friends? Like, and I think people who want to do that but haven't figured out how to do it. And I will say that, like, if you want to combine kids and social life, you got to suck it up and just, like, have awkward conversations with strangers, basically, until you find one you like. Like, if you spy that mom across the way who looks really cool and your kids are playing together, like, as much as it might pain your introverted self, you got to walk over and be like, hi, want to hang out?
It's so true. Most people are receptive to that.
Yeah, because they're probably standing there thinking the exact same thing, right? Like, oh man, I'm so bored. I mean, or they're not, and they'll let you know. Like, if the worst thing that can happen is someone doesn't want to hang out with you, which was happening anyway.
Yeah.
And yeah, it can feel like a rejection, but if you don't take it personally, like, not everyone has to be best friends with everyone. Just, like, try to find your person to hang out with and you'll be good.
Yes.
Yeah, I've done this with Augie's preschool, like, friends. I have aggressively targeted the moms that I think are cool. Kind of been like the weirdo being like, okay, so when are we all going to hang out? Play date, right? But it's worked out. I've made some good friends.
Yeah. Another thing that helps with all this balance is kind of sectioning the time of day. Like, evening time is spouse time, right? Mm-hmm. I work really hard to get my girls to bed early. Like, that's one of my main priorities in life, is to make sure they have an early bedtime, because after that is my time to hang out with Steve, whether it's just making dinner, watching TV or whatever. Like, that's spouse time, you know. Mm-hmm. Daytime is work time, you know. Late afternoon is usually kid time, because that's when they're home from school. And then I squeeze in the podcast whenever I have some extra time. Like, it's kind of the thing that gets stuck in wherever it works.
Yeah. And that's also the reason why we, like, release on a delay. We've talked about this a lot on the show, but, like, sometimes it doesn't get squeezed in, and that's okay, because, like, we're all sick or whatever. But that's why we have some in the can ready to go, and then we catch up. So that's how we do that.
Yep. All around flexibility is key.
For sure. Except for, like, in my spine. There's no flexibility left there.
You don't have time to work yoga class into all of this, Laura. Come on.
It's funny because Augie's, like, suddenly into yoga. I think because he's been watching Cosmic Kids Yoga on YouTube Kids. And they do some yoga at school. So, like, the other day my back was hurting. This was after I did all that mulching in the yard.
Oh, yeah.
And my back was hurting and he wanted me to carry him down the stairs. And I was like, my back hurts. And he was upset about that. He didn't want to be carried down. I was like, no, honey, I can't carry you down. Not today. And we get downstairs, and after he got done moping about that, he was like, we should do some poses to help your back.
Really?
And he's like, do this pose. Yeah, he was like, do this pose. It will help your back. And he's like, here's the thing you do. You get down. He, like, basically showed me child's pose. It was so cute. And then, like, for the rest of the week, he was like, is your back still hurting? Do you want to do some poses? So maybe I should just get him to teach me yoga.
Yeah, you've got a little yoga instructor right in your own house. Take advantage. That is so cute. I love that. Okay, so we got another question on a similar line. So we're kind of putting these together. This is from Kate. She says, how do you juggle your desire for motherhood and your desire for a fulfilling career?
Just kill your dreams. Oh, no. Is that the right answer? I didn't think that's probably not what she wants to hear. I'm not entirely. I'm making a joke because we are a comedy podcast. But yeah, I mean, I've had to do a lot of reckoning with this because, like, it's hard because especially when you've been, like, a working woman your entire life. And then, like, especially if you have kids later, it's like you're in your 30s. You're doing so well. You've succeeded at all these things and you have all these aspirations. And then you have a baby and you can't do anything for a while. I mean, you can. Like, you can. Lots of people do. But, like, it's a huge lifestyle change. And I've had to do a lot of reckoning with this. I mean, basically for me, it's narrowing my goals, right? Like, because it used to be like, I want to do all the things.
Yes.
And now it's like, I want to write a book with Shauna. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, I used to want to, like, make $1 million a year and also, you know, write plays and TV shows and do this and that and knit 1 million things. And now it's like, I'm going to knit a hat for Augie, and I'm going to write a book with Shauna, and it's going to take time. It's not going to be done right away, you know? So for me, it's like really narrowing my expectations and then reminding myself that this is like a phase, right? This is like a season of my life. Mm-hmm. And before I know it, they're going to be older and independent, and I'm going to have all the time in the world to do all the shit I've been wanting to do. And probably at that point, I'll be like, I miss my little babies. So yeah, just trying to remember that. How about you, Shauna?
Yeah, similar. Definitely a narrowing of focus, right? I had just so many creative aspirations, and I was always jumping from one interest to another. And now it's like, put out a podcast and write a book with Laura and also do my day job. But also a broadening of my desire. Like before, I was like, I want to be an actress and I want to write screenplays and I want to do this and that and be a storyteller and all these different things. And now it's kind of just like, I want to be creative somehow. You know, I love that. That's what I really need and want in my life. And like this podcast has provided so much of that for the last 4 years. It's like so important to me to have that in my life. As long as I'm doing something and putting something out there that's like creative and expressive, I'm really happy. Maybe my next focus when my kids get a little bit older is to make $1 million. I don't know what the next thing is going to be. But for now, it's kind of a combination of narrowing and broadening my desires, if that makes sense.
Yes, like generalizing, right?
Yeah.
It's removing the labels and being more about the creativity aspect of it. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say that getting pregnant and becoming a mom can also help you realize what you're willing to let go of as far as like career aspirations or creative endeavors. When I got pregnant with Elle, I was still pursuing acting out here, right? I like had a manager and stuff and I was going on auditions. And the second I got pregnant, it was almost like, yes, I can quit acting. Like I can let go of that manager. It's like such a pain in my ass to go to auditions. It was really anxiety producing for me. But I had been just like plugging along at it, you know? And when I got pregnant, it was almost just like this like clear answer to me of what to let go of so that I could move forward. So that was really nice too. Some things might come into focus.
Interesting. Well, thank you all for those questions. I hope that our answers were illuminating.
And if you have any questions for us for an upcoming mini-sode, please reach out. Laura, where can everyone find us?
We are on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can throw a voice memo in there. Just send it to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. Or you could join our Facebook community. Just search Big Fat Positive Community and request to join and ask a question in there.
Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
See you next time.